Today on Real Radio.
Now, today, immature Christians would say, listen, I said immature Christians would say, I'm free in Jesus. I'm going to do this in front of my Christian brother. If he likes it or not, he just needs to grow up. Guess who's the more immature?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, you could sum up this New Testament epistle in one phrase by saying that its emphasis is for believers to be set apart from the ungodliness of the world. Now, one area of life that the believer must leave in his rearview mirror is putting his trust in creations rather than the true Creator. These issues Paul addresses in chapter 8. We're learning the ways in which we can now let our light so shine before men, now that we have a new life in Jesus Christ. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called The Power of Your Influence.
Atheism says there is no God. Did you know that's a relatively new way of thinking that mankind in every culture has always worshipped a god or gods? And what does that do to a mindset culture? What does it do by influence? Well, the second thing that we want to see is this. Point number two, mark it down if you would, is that how God's love influences me, verses 7 and 8. It does this way. He has set me free from religious efforts. Look at verse 7. However, there is not in everyone that knowledge, for some with consciousness of the idol until now eat as a thing offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Very quickly, the love of God in your life influences you. Influences me this way, number one. It sets us free from religious efforts. Religious efforts. Here's the truth. Paul is saying there are Christians who got it. Christians understand. They've spent time with God. Church, listen. They've dived into the Word of God and they've come to conclude idols are nothing and God loves me. There are Christians who have either squandered their time, goofed off, or they're brand new Christians, which is fantastic. And they're learning, but they're in that state, that condition. They're still torn up by the things of the world. It still pulls on them. So listen, in their minds, they would say, oh, there's still power in that. Example, horoscopes are from hell. Did you know that? The Bible says they are. The Bible says they are demonic, deceiving powers. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 18 speak about the false prophets of the horoscopes. Horoscope is Babylonian for Maseroth, which is Hebrew. The worship of the constellations for information. Turning to the stars and the moon to speak to you rather than God. And we're so stupid today. We have billion-dollar radio telescopes searching the heavens. And you ask JPL and Caltech, what are we doing? Shouldn't we like be feeding people down in Joplin, Missouri right now? No, we can't do that. Why? We're waiting for communication from the heavens. Did you know that's what they are? Did you know that? I'm not making this up. You pay for it. We're waiting. We might hear something from, do you know how long they've been doing this? You need to ask them. Have you heard anything yet? No. No, we haven't heard anything yet. I tell you, these people, they're zeal. We should mimic. Zeal only. They're hanging in there, man. I'd like to get on the other end and say, hey, this is the Lord. Wouldn't that be fun? Horoscopes, those are pagan. Those are idols in our lives. Fortune cookies. What does yours say? I don't know. What does mine say? Oh, my goodness. Hey, and it's, I don't know about you. It's inevitable. It happens at our table, too. Everyone opens it up. Oh my gosh, you know what? This how stupid this is. This is ridiculous. And then we go like this. You know what's weird about this? Is I met a guy last week that was kind of, we start making it true. Or it's, by the way, have you noticed they're all good news? I would love to infiltrate the fortune cookie company and put something in there. Your life stinks. It's never going to amount to anything unless you turn to Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? You go to P.F. Chang's and open that baby up. If you work for a fortune cookie company, I'd like to know. It'd be great. God has set us free from these religious things. Your life, Christian, you have no business tampering with a horoscope palm reader. That's demonism. I talked to a man who got possessed by a demon by his commitment to a Ouija board. It led him to a seance. And Satanism. But a young Christian or an inexperienced Christian might say, well, you know what? This issue is terrifying to me. I can't eat that meat. I'm hungry. And if I come to your barbecue, I can't eat that meat because it's been offered to an idol. And Paul would say, why don't you just be quiet and thank God and eat it? That's what he would like to say. But you can't do that to a young Christian. Listen, Christians, listen, this is important. If I have the freedom to eat fish tacos every day, and you say to me, no, 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 we should only eat fish on Fridays, then listen, I will live my life before you for this time. As you grow, I'm not going to stumble you. I'm not going to say, hey, buddy, how you doing? Guess where I'm going today? I'm going to get fish tacos. That's not Christian love. That's wrong. But Jack, don't you have the freedom to fish tacos anytime you want? Yes, I do. But I can't stumble my brother. I can't take my love and my liberty that's in Jesus and run him over with it. Now, today, immature Christians would say, listen, I said immature Christians would say, I'm free in Jesus. I'm going to do this in front of my Christian brother. If he likes it or not, he just needs to grow up. Guess who's the more immature? I've heard some Christians say, I can smoke. The Bible doesn't say you shouldn't smoke. Okay, you're right. The Bible says it. You shouldn't. I mean, the Bible doesn't say you shouldn't smoke. But does it stumble someone who has that as an offense? You're smoking away on your, you know, you're burning your idol, smoking it away. And you say, well, that Christian just needs to grow up. No. You need to be sensitive about that Christian's weakness, the Bible would call it. This is a big deal. You say, well, I'm free. I can live any kind of life I choose. Well, I like what St. Augustine said. He said, I'm free. I can live any kind of life I choose. That's true, you know. But his next statement was, I choose to live for Christ. Did you think about that as a Christian? A lot of pastors won't say what I'm about to say because they're afraid that the church will go out and do something stupid. If you do that, then you don't have any knowledge. And here it is. If you go out and do whatever you want to do, you're not going to hell. You're not going to lose your salvation. You will suffer from the decision you make. If you smoke, you smoke 30 years and then you die young. Whose fault is that? Don't blame it on God. Why did God do this to me? God's saying, why'd you do it to you? But here's the thing. You can go to heaven with nicotine stains on your face. It doesn't keep you out of heaven. It just damages your witness. And you say, well, what do I care? That's the difference. A Christian who has been matured in the love of God has the freedom to do anything, but is also free to do nothing. Because the witness is most important. Does that make sense to anyone here? Yeah. I can drink. Oh, okay, I guess you can drink. Of course you can drink. I can drink beer. I can drink. Listen, when you go to church in England and in Germany, it will freak you out. I freaked out. After church, everyone fellowships at the pub. I'm not joking. The Christians after church go to the pub. See, you and I think bar. You and I think of people like this. That's not what happens there. They all go to the pub. They're talking. And the Christians in Germany drink. They order beer with their chicken and burgers and stuff. And I'm like this. And the waitress comes to me. "I'll have a Coke, please." And I leaned over and I said, "Hey, what's the deal, man? You guys all drink beer? You're Christians. You guys all drink beer." And they go, "We've been drinking beer for 1,000 years. You can't drink our water to kill you." Nobody got drunk. I'm very, very content with my Coke, but I was offended. And I told the guy, I said, "Man, that's weird, man. In the West, this is no way would you do this." And the guy goes, "Yeah, you know what's funny about you guys? You guys don't drink. We do. But you guys go 90 miles an hour in a 45. We would never do that here. We're offended by the way you guys drive. We think you're sinning against God by the way." I'm serious. He said, we're offended by how Americans drive. You see the cultural thing there? Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, A, regarding driving, to obey the laws of the land. The Bible also says, regarding drinking, you can't stumble a brother, and you can never get buzzed or drunk. The Bible says that. So, oh my goodness, Pastor Jack, you just opened a huge can of worms. What am I going to do? You are going to err on the side of God and his love for others. If you say today, "I don't care what you say, I've got to have my martini every day after work, even if it's in front of the Pope. I don't care about it, I don't care." And listen, you know what you're saying? Now you've made it very clear to everybody, you have to have that. You are not free. Don't pawn it off as Christian liberty, because in reality, you will kill that brother or sister to have it your way. This is not Burger King. This is the church. Man, I can't believe this legalism. No, only people who cry about legalism are those who are getting convicted. You can't stumble anyone if it comes to drinking. And the Bible says you can't become intoxicated. The next thing is this, which really plays into what we were just saying a moment ago. He set us free not only from religious efforts, but from self-righteousness. The food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, nor if we do not eat are we the worst. Listen, this is a big deal today, even in our 21st century. Religious, self-righteous food practices. Religious. "I can't eat this." Somebody might say, "I can't eat pork." Okay, why can't you eat pork? Well, the Bible says that you're not supposed to eat pork. Where does it say that at? You got to remember that. To whom was that said? God told the Jewish people, "You are separate from all nations. You are different from all people." The Jewish people. According to the Old Testament, the Jews are not to eat pork. But we got a problem. We got a pork-eating Jew in the New Testament by the name of Peter, who gets in trouble in Galatia over this issue. Was Peter sinning? Do you know what Peter's sin was? Not pork eating. Peter's sin was that when he saw that there were Jews coming from Jerusalem, he separated himself from the people at the picnic bench and ran away as though they were now defiled. Imagine, he's got pork chop, he's got pork sauce on his face, and Peter sees the guys coming from Jerusalem. Oh my gosh. And they showed up. "Hey, what's going on, man? It smells like a bacon fest here." And he goes, "Yeah, you know, those are new Christians over there." And when Paul heard about it, the Bible says Paul withstood Peter to his face on this issue. Wow. You guys know in Acts chapter 10, verse 9, where the Bible tells us that Peter was in Joppa and he's hungry. And he falls asleep on the roof of the house. And he's waiting for lunch. And someone's cooking down below. The smoke's coming. The aroma's coming out. And Peter's sleeping, and the Bible says he has a trance. He sees the sheet coming down from heaven. And Peter looks over the sheet. He's so hungry. He looks into the sheet. He looks around. And all running around in the sheet were all these animals that God has made, and they're all unclean. Imagine that. Little pork chop runs by. Lobster runs by. There goes a snail. Ugh. Satan made snails. And a voice comes and speaks to Peter. Peter, rise up and kill and eat. Peter says, not so, Lord. Nothing unkosher's ever touched my lips. Well, aren't you something, Pete? And God says to him, remember, God repeats that vision to him. And God tells him, whatever I have made, don't ever call unclean. The Bible tells us regarding what we eat, we are to, number one, give God thanks for it. Number two, we are to pray over it. That means the Bible says we sanctify it to God when we pray with thanksgiving for it. So listen, when somebody says, oh, I just saw you eat some bacon at the restaurant there, you need to repent. You need to ask them, are you Jewish? No, I'm not Jewish. Oh, well then listen, I don't need to repent. Want some bacon? Here you go, have some sausage. Why? Because it was for the Jewish people. But as a Christian, I can eat anything I want. But listen, next week, if the consulate general of the Israeli embassy comes next week to service, if he wants to go out to lunch, guess where I'm not taking him? I'm not taking him to Porky's Pork and Grill Shop. Okay? Well, don't you have the freedom? Of course I have the freedom. Do you guys get this? Of course I've got the freedom. I don't want to offend him. But what if you're craving a pork chop? I can put my craving aside. I would rather witness to him the love of God than have my pork chop. It's very, very basic. Love controls that. Third and final thing, it's this, verses 9 to 13. How God's love influences others. We'll do this quickly. Verse 9 says, very important. Verse 9 teaches us, beware lest somehow this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating that which has been offered in the idol's temple, will not his conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? Meaning, if someone sees you pouring back on your drink or on your thing that is not acceptable, the guy will say, I thought that was wrong. Oh, if he's doing it, well, Bob did it, so I can do it. And the moment he does that thing, his conscience, because his conscience is not free like yours is, stumbles him. Church, what an amazing love this is, that I would care more about what you think and feel, though I believe inside you're a little immature on this issue. I don't walk up to you and say, brother, grow up and join the human race and have a pork chop and a beer. That's wrong. I would say in my heart, he's got convictions that I better be sensitive about because God loves him. And I don't want to do anything that's going to mess up his walk with Jesus, so much so, I will go without. We must be, church, responsible with this power. We must be responsible with this power that God has given us. Liberty, the freedom to live free for God. I'm free, you're free from drugs, from intoxicating things, from the things that the world is addicted to. We're free. That's what God does in our lives. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Liberty. And the Bible tells us that this man who could be easily swayed by the eating of an idol could ruin his life. This is an important thing. I want to show you this last and final slide very quickly. This is the Acropolis in Greece. And I had a chance to be there. It's amazing. This picture is taken from the Acropolis, one of the pagan worship centers of the gods. You see that big rock right there? Do you remember when Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 17, goes up and he announces to the people, he begins to speak to them? He spoke to them on that rock. The actual rock is right there. He spoke to them about, I perceive in your city that you are very religious people. Remember he said that? For in the avenue coming up here, I saw the idols, all the gods that you worship. And so that you not offend any god that you might have missed, there was a statue or a pedestal with no statue on it, and it said to the unknown god. The Greeks did that. They didn't want to offend the gods. They actually believed this. They didn't want to offend the gods, so in case they missed the god, they put a podium up, and it said, this we dedicate to the unknown god. Paul says, he's the guy that I want to talk to you about. The one you don't know is the one I know. That's what he did. He did that right there. That's the spot in Greece. That's in Athens. And he did that. What an awesome thing that is. What responsible power is this that Paul uses these things, understanding? An idol is nothing, but for the Christian, it's an opportunity to share. Church, right down the road here, we can walk to it, is a shrine being built. It is a pagan shrine with idols and idol-worshiping people. And they're moving into our area. You know, the rest of the nation's home prices are going down, not ours. If you live in Chino Hills, our home prices are going up. Why? Because there's thousands of, who are they? They're Hindus moving from all over the world to this location. This is going to be the largest temple in the Western Hemisphere right here. We can walk to it from here. And you go, oh, no. Ah, listen, I got a hot word for you this morning. Idols are nothing. You don't like flying 17 hours in an airplane, right? I don't want to go share 17-hour flight and tell people about Jesus. God heard your cry. He brought them here. We reach out to them. We give them the real God. Verse 11 to 12, very quickly, we must be careful with such a brother. He's a Christian. He's weak. That's not an insult. He's young in the faith or the doctrines of God, and he doesn't understand yet. That's okay. Listen, that's okay. We don't beat him up with our liberty. It's very important. And then finally, this verse 13, we must be focused on the prize. Look what Paul says. Can you believe this? He says, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat, lest I make my brother to stumble. Is that precious or what?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that looks at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul speaks of what kind of attitude believers should have toward idols, which are more prevalent than we might think. The title of the study, The Power of Your Influence. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse journey through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, remember that with just one point and click, you can visit realradioactive.org anytime 24/7, realradioactive.org. It's a terrific way to stay in touch with us here at Real Radio. Now, we've made it real easy for you to stay in touch with all things Real Radio, like listening to past editions of the program, email your questions to Ask Pastor Jack, that's of course our Friday feature. You can learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month and a whole lot more. But you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which we really think you're going to like. You could subscribe to it and receive it via email. A lot of Real Radio listeners are getting on board and subscribing to Words to the Wise. Some are even writing in and letting Pastor Jack know how Words to the Wise really is being a blessing to them. And here's one of those letters. Dear Pastor Jack, thank you very much for your Words to the Wise devotionals. They've certainly blessed me in many ways. The first time was last May. I had been a Christian for a long time, but I'd only just begun to read the Bible. I was going on my honeymoon with my husband, and I was secretly terrified of the plane ride. But of course, I didn't want to tell him. About a week and a half before our flight, your devotional was for John 14:1, and it really helped me feel somewhat peaceful about the flight, which didn't turn out to be so bad at all. Since then, I've begun to read the Bible, and I actually use the verses from your devotionals as the verses my husband and I memorize every week. Isn't that great? Your devotionals, she says, have put me and my husband on a path to build a good foundation from the beginning of our marriage. Isn't that a great letter? Have you got something you'd like to tell Pastor Jack? Just visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button right there on the right that says devotional. That's realradioactive.org. Go do that today. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.